to Stu Peters. This is God's platform, and all glory be to God Almighty.
Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. I'm Paul Harrell filling in for Stu. So the fallout from the trans terrorist shooting in Nashville continues as Americans realize that Christianity is literally under attack. This tragic killing spree by a radicalized and propagandized 28-year-old biological female is not an isolated incident. The Denver shooter also identified as trans, as did the Aberdeen shooter. The Colorado Springs shooter identified as non-binary. So there's a clear pattern, and we must not deceive ourselves. Anti-American bias and persecution permeates our culture, and as more and more Christian red states pass laws preventing the Rainbow Gestapo from seeing their sick goals become a reality, which principally has to do with grooming our kids so they grow up and become perverts just like them, as that evil agenda is exposed and stopped at local levels all across the country, we must be prepared and protect ourselves from the violence that is to come as these demons lash out. But even more than that, we need to do something much more important, in my opinion. We must pray. Those who lost loved ones in Nashville the other day need our prayers. I cannot imagine what they're going through. It's every parent's worst nightmare. And there's only one person who can, out of absolute despair and grief, bring peace and comfort to those who are mourning, and that is God Almighty. As we begin tonight here on the Stu Peters Show, I would like to ask that we all say a prayer for the families affected by this act of Christian persecution, and we ask God to do what many of us may think is impossible, and that's bring peace to these broken-hearted families in the midst of this evil tragedy. Now, speaking of persecution, we're going to move now to political persecution. Chris Skye has been a friend of the Stu Peters Show for a long time. This show has chronicled his long battle against mask mandates, vax mandates, and other forms of tyranny in Canada. This battle has been hugely difficult for Chris and his family as the dictatorship of Justin Trudeau has gone all out to destroy him. Chris has been arrested in Toronto, in Winnipeg, in Thunder Bay, in Hamilton, and in Calgary. He's been placed on the Canadian no-fly list. And in May of 2021, the Canadian government decided to charge him with 3 counts of uttering death threats, along with 2 counts of assaulting a police officer with a weapon, and a charge of dangerous operation of a motor vehicle. For 2 years, Chris has remained a fearless activist despite these charges hanging over his head. He took part in the Freedom Truckers movement in Canada a year ago. He popped up at anti-vaccine and anti-masking protests all over the country. He has been a true warrior for the cause, no matter how many of these threats are lobbed in his direction. Well, yesterday was a big day for Chris, as he was found not guilty of all of the charges against him. But he isn't leaving public life either, not by a long shot. Instead, this is just the start of his next chapter, because just before being acquitted of all those charges, Chris announced his candidacy to become the mayor of Toronto. So what would a Chris Skye mayorship of Toronto look like? Well, he's already made 2 big promises. When he's mayor, there will be no digital IDs, and there will be no 15-minute cities, the globalist urban planning scheme to keep people cooped up in small areas around their homes, easily contained and easily controlled. What else does Chris have in mind? Well, he joins us now. Chris Skye, welcome back to the Stu Peters Show, my friend. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I'm actually more excited than I've ever been in my life, not just because my name was finally cleared, not just because I'm running for mayor, but because what that represents. For the last 3 years, we've been fighting, including Stu, people like you, diligently in every way possible to try to wake people up around the world to the reality that COVID had nothing to do with health and safety, and it was about power and control. And their next agenda, the 15-minute city, the personal carbon allowance, the digital ID, the digital currency, is the next phase of that control. COVID was to get everybody ready for it psychologically and get us used to it in society. And what do I mean by that? Well, they wanted to make us get rid of the idea that individual rights and freedoms were paramount to a successful society. And they wanted to get rid of the idea of individual responsibility. And instead, they replaced it with the idea that individual rights and freedoms are selfish and dangerous. And now we need to embrace collective responsibility for the so-called greater good. Now, that applied to COVID in a way that was only supposed to be temporary. But if you apply it to the climate change agenda, it becomes COVID-style lockdowns and restrictions on your life forever. And that's what they're trying to do now. And I believe the best way for me to stop it and to get myself between their agenda and the people is to get myself as the mayor of Toronto for a couple of reasons. Number one, Toronto is literally the crown jewel in the World Economic Forum agenda. Toronto itself is a few million people, but the greater Toronto area encompassing around that is about 10 million people and the vast majority of GDP in Canada. We only have 37 million people in all of Canada, and 10 million of them are in this one little tiny area. So it influences the rest of Canada. And as you saw, the 15-minute city is already proliferating all over Canada and creeping into the United States in places like Ohio. And I have over 20 years in planning and development. My name, Chris Sky, comes from my company, Sky Homes, where I've been in low-rise residential development since I was an adult. The moment I was 18 and 19 years old, I was already working within the private sector, but working with the government on the public sector. So I have a very unique perspective where I was working on both sides of the fence. So not only did that allow me to communicate with all different types of people, it enabled me to bring my efficiency from the private sector into the public sector. And I can do the same thing as mayor. And my understanding of that industry gives me a very unique perspective and a very unique position where I can challenge these things, not just on paper, but challenge them in debates. And I can explain the relevance and how it's really going to hurt society. So they don't want a candidate like me because, number one, I'm the person that keeps my promises. Number two, I'm the one with the balls to stand up to the establishment. Number three, when I get in there, the first thing I'm going to do is go through our $16.1 billion budget that I asked the city to give me a breakdown of what department gets what. They wouldn't. So when I go through there, I'm going to find billions, and I mean billions of dollars of waste, corruption, theft, and in all accounts, savings for the people. And you're going to see a wave of resignations from all the corrupt people that have been stealing and doing illegal things over the last few years to the people. And you're going to see people getting their jobs back because I'll be able to use the Mayor of Powers Act of 2022 to veto the very bylaws they put in place to put restrictions on businesses, travel, and individuals. Those can come off, and people that had businesses, that lost businesses, won't be afraid to try again because they know my government will never shut them down. My government will never destroy the economy in the name of a public health crisis. And my government will crack down on the biggest problem that Toronto has, and that's corruption. They try to make it seem like if you get into government, you can only help the rich or you can only help the poor. Well, my government's going to have something for everyone. The poor people need one thing, money. So when we save those billions of dollars from the federal budget that they would otherwise, or municipal budget that they would otherwise squander, we could put that money back into the communities for the vulnerable people like the homeless and the veterans, for the people in the minority communities that need new infrastructure projects. And then what could we do for the wealthy? Well, the biggest thing they need is time. And how does the city screw them? Not just with development charges and levies. We can keep those the same. But when it comes to permit times, if you cut the permit times by 50%, you're going to save these companies a hell of a lot of money. You're going to increase the actual housing production, and that will solve the housing crisis in Toronto. It would also increase the GDP, increase the tax base. And it would solve so many of the issues we have. There's so many more things I can do as mayor, and they know it, and that's why they don't want me to be in power. As you saw, I've been arrested 26 times. 26. I've faced over 60 charges, the worst of which you've already mentioned. And now that I've been fully acquitted of all those, and they have no leverage on me, they are scared and they don't know how to deal with me.
No, absolutely they are. And, you know, you mentioned the World Economic Forum, Chris, and I'm so glad that you did. I didn't know that, you know, Toronto is thought of as their kind of their crown jewel. But Stu Peters the other day. He was interviewing Maria Z out of Australia, and they were talking about the World Economic Forum, how they predicted that there's going to be a coming cyber storm. And out of that cyber storm will be the solution, which they're going to try to push their digital IDs. This is the theory, just like they did with the vaccine, right? Out of the pandemic comes the solution, right? That's actually really terrible for you, and you know, is a death vax. What are your thoughts on the digital ID? Because you just laid out some great policies that would be good for the people of Toronto and the people of Canada. But their main opposition to you would be you thwarting something like a digital ID.
Okay, if you want to know what the digital ID is going to be like, we already got a taste of it with the vaccine passport. A digital version of something where you need to prove who you are, or you need to prove a so-called status before you're enabled to work, before you're enabled to travel, before you're even able to go to a restaurant or a gym. The digital ID will expand that to every aspect of your life. You will not even be able to log on to the internet without using your digital ID. And then you won't be able to spend any money without using your digital ID.
That's right.
And when they get you to the point where you have to use your digital ID for everything, now they're going to have two points of control over you. Number one, they're going to make everything so expensive to the point where you're not going to be able to make ends meet on your own. You're going to need government assistance. You're going to be dependent on them. When you have that dependence combined with the digital ID, they literally own you. You want to get that money you're going to need to feed your family? You better take that COVID shot, the flu shot, the Marburg shot, the monkeypox shot, and every other thing we want you to do. Hell, we could even force you to give blood every other week because we have a blood shortage.
If you want to get your money. You got to only eat fake meat, right? They could only you can only buy fake meat.
Well, that's part of the carbon scam. What is the carbon scam? Everybody wants to understand, and this is going to happen before the digital ID, so that's why I want to talk about it. They're going to combine a personal carbon limit and a personal carbon allowance with the 15-minute city. Because the 15-minute city is designed to create actual, they're literally physical prisons. They're going to call them districts. Districts. And your district is about 5 square kilometers. And between your district and the next district, they're going to have traffic barricades and they're going to have traffic cameras. And those cameras are going to have license plate readers. So if you try to leave your district when they say you are not allowed, it's going to start with fines. Those fines are going to increase, and eventually it's going to become jail. And if people think this is a conspiracy theory, I was in England where this started in September. I was in England, Ireland, France, Germany, Netherlands, Belgium, and I spoke in all these countries in September 2022, not very long ago. And Oxford, England was the pioneer city for these 15-minute cities. And what do they have now? They have Oxford split up into 6 districts. They have traffic barricades and traffic cameras between each district. And now that they have that infrastructure in place, they impose restrictions on the citizens' movement. You're only allowed to leave your district 100 times a year. And if you leave when you're not allowed, you either have to get special permission from the government or you will get fined. They also remove the ability for private car ownership. That is their number one goal with the 15-minute city, to make the vast majority of people unable to own a private vehicle. So they are replacing car lanes with bike lanes and pedestrian lanes. They're replacing car parks with parking lots. They're replacing large high-rise buildings with huge underground parkings with mixed-use buildings. And these mixed-use buildings have commercial retail on the bottom, residential on the top, and maximum, not minimum amounts of parking, to ensure that as we get more people and more population density, there's going to be less and less room for cars. Yeah. Because the number one thing is to reduce your carbon footprint. And the
I'm saying what you just described with the districts in Oxford sounds very similar, I guess, at this point, minus the, you know, battles to the death of the Hunger Games, you know, dystopian where, you know, you get further and further out of these other districts and all of the power is concentrated in the central ones and the, you know, the closest ones to power. And then you don't care about the rest of the serfs. That sounds
why
very
do
much
they call them districts?
They call them districts 9 and
they literally call them districts.
So the first I ever heard of what is now being called a 15-minute city, I would think that the 15-minute city is now the marketing portion. Like, oh, it's going to be great. You know, everything in 15 minutes. But the first I heard of this was probably 10, 15 years ago, something called Agenda 21. Are you familiar familiar with the Agenda 21 and everything that entails? This seems like just an expansion of that.
Well, now it's called Agenda 2030 because by 2021, they didn't meet all their goals. So they changed it to Agenda 2030. And now that's why virtually everything they're doing, every climate agreement, every transportation agreement, everything has to happen by 2030. For instance, the Paris Climate Accord, US signed it, Canada signed it, most of the countries of the world signed it. It says by 2030, coincidentally, that we need to reduce the individual carbon footprint of the average person from over 20 tons a year, or 20,000 kilograms of CO2, down to 2,000. Now, what does that look like in an actual daily person's life? If you or me wanted to fly from New York to London, England, and back again, it's about 7 hours each way, 14 hours of flying. If you go book a flight right now on Expedia, Google Flight, whatever, you'll see how much that flight costs. You'll see how many hours that flight is there and how many hours it is back. And now they have a new thing. It'll show you how much carbon your bad person is using to fly on these expensive and polluting airlines. And a simple flight from New York to London and back again will cost something like 500 kilograms of carbon, or half a ton. Now, if you look at the carbon agreement that they signed already, that means in that 14 hours, less than one day, you've used up 25% of your yearly carbon allowance. Say that again. 25% of your carbon allowance in 14 hours of flying. So does that mean they want you to fly? No, they do not want commercial air travel. Mm-hmm. And the other thing they don't want is you to have a car. The thing that makes up the largest carbon footprint for every North American and European that has one is a car. Your car creates about 75% of your carbon footprint, according to the government. So if you look at 15 Minute City, you type 15 Minute City in Google, one of the first people to come up is Del Watt. Del Watt is an international, multinational, billion-dollar corporation that hands out business awards for technology and other things. The very first line of Del Watt's interpretation of a 15-minute city is that a 15-minute city is primarily designed to reduce the individual's carbon footprint. Now, that's a euphemism for reducing your actual footprint, how far you can travel, how you can travel, even what you can eat. Food
slavery
now has carbon ratings on it. Yes, go to the grocery store, go to the vegan section, grab a box of kale. It'll say something like 0.2 kilograms of carbon, meaning you can eat as much kale as you possibly wanted, and you're never going to go over your carbon limit. Now go get a steak. It's going to have something like 150 kilograms of carbon, and it's telling you that if you eat this steak, not only are you going to pay more because you're eating steak, but when you go over your carbon limit for the month, they're going to tax you on this steak. Mm-hmm. And that's why they're creating fake meat, bugs, and all this other garbage, because the average person is going to be so overtaxed with this new carbon allowance that you're not going to be able to afford anything. Your life is going to consist, according to them, of waking up in your apartment, and your apartment is going to be about 250 square feet, walking downstairs to the store where you work, eating lunch in the same building complex, finishing work, then doing your grocery shopping in the same building complex, going to the gym in the same building complex, meeting up with your friends for Starbucks in the same building complex, then prison. Going back home to go to sleep so you can do it all again.
This is prison. I mean, if you read 1984 or you watched the movie, that's essentially what we're talking about is prison. Let me ask you one more thing before we run out of time here, back on the digital IDs. There's, you know, a lot of us, not as many as I would like, but there's a lot of us that didn't take the vax, me included. We weren't going to do it. We weren't going to comply. There will also be people, if they ever do roll out their digital IDs, that will refuse to just, what will you do? I mean, because they're going to be able to track everything you do. They're also going to censor your speech. There will be some people that just say, you know what? I know I have to do, you know, I need this phone to for my living or whatever. But there will be some who will just say no thanks. And then what do we have? Are we essentially the 21st century equivalent of Amish people at that point?
Well, what they're going to try to do is the same thing they did with COVID. If they can get the vast majority of the population to go along with it, it will no longer be voluntary. Just like when they got most people to wear masks, they became mandatory. As soon as they got most people to take the jab, it became mandatory. The good part is not only are there a lot of people that didn't take the jab, more than a couple of billion around the world, literally, The best part of all is the jab was the best thing that ever happened to our movement. Because prior to the jab being shown to be ineffective and dangerous and everybody believing in the establishment, we were anti-vaxxers, anti-maskers, conspiracy theorists, a fringe minority. Now, with all the people that took the jab that got injured or otherwise regret it, we have millions and millions more people, a large percentage of the population that already didn't take it. And now we have a large percentage of the population that did take it, but wishes they had not.
That's true.
And those are people that would have never been awake. They would have never been part of our movement. They would have sleptwalked right into the digital identity. But now they're awake. Now they don't trust the government. They don't trust the media. They don't trust the medical establishment. And they're looking for someone they can trust. And he's right here. Because I've been trustworthy for the last 3 years. I've been an unofficial representative of the people the last 3 years. I put my neck on the line every day for the people for the last 3 years. So it's only natural that I take this next progression and become an official representative of the people in a mayor spot, which is the highest ranking and most powerful political position in the country without any political affiliation. Wow, nobody owns me. I owe nobody favors. I am beholden to the people of Toronto. And I am fantastic. The only mayor that will actually give my cell phone number out to every single person, because a real public servant is actually transparent and reachable to the people he pretends that he serves.
Well, actually tell the Stu Peters audience, if they want to support you, if they want to find more information out about your candidacy, Chris Skye, where do we go? What do we do?
First things first, my cell number. This is my number, my only phone, not an assistant, not a manager, not a voicemail, me. 416-400-9994. 416-400-9994. Anybody can call me or text me. I'm up 22 hours a day and I talk to you, and they'll be able to tell you how you can support us through that. We also have an email we set up. So we're using this email to collect volunteers. This email can actually accept e-transfer donations from Canadians, and it's another way for people to get in contact with us. And it is chrisskye4change@mail.com. Not Gmail, chrisskye4change@mail.com.
We'll make sure we put that in the description on this full show on Rumble Video, as well as the standalone video that is to come. Chris Skye, congratulations on taking on the system and winning. And it sounds like you even beat the ride. You know, a lot of times they say you may beat the charges, but you won't beat the ride. Seems like you did both. And now the World Economic Forum types are running scared. So congratulations and best of luck to you. And let's talk again soon, okay?
The hunted has become the hunter.
I love it. I love it. Folks, the Stu Peters Show will be back here in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. I'm Paul Harrell, filling in for Stu.
Taxation is theft, especially when your money is used to fund evil.
Wear a mask. Get boosted.
Corona hoax. Mass deception. America controlled by fear. Good news. There's another way. You can stop paying for the crimes and cover-up today through Freedom Law School.
The best thing you can do, according to the IRS's own official auditors, is to stop filing and paying income taxes.
Based on the government's official websites, there is no law requiring 99% of Americans to file and pay income tax. See the proof for yourself on freedomlawschool.org. Don't wait to drain the DC swamp. Start your journey to freedom from IRS deception, robbery, and slavery. Starve out the problem. Weaponize your earnings. Defund the swamp and fund the truth and freedom movement today. Go to livefreenow.org and restore the freedom we all miss.
Are you having a hard time losing weight? Do you think that your metabolism might be just weak or completely broken? If you answered yes to either of those questions, then you need to know about a 30-second morning habit that can put your metabolism into overdrive and help to trigger the fat loss of that stubborn fat that you can't get rid of, no matter how you diet and no matter how much you work out. Sculpt Nation, one of the fastest growing brands in the fitness industry, has launched a new and improved version of its best-selling thermogenic formula, Burn Evolved. Burn Evolved 2.0 has just hit the market, and it's now made with several research-backed and patented ingredients. Thousands of their customers are already raving about it. What's unique about Burn Evolved 2.0 is it works by activating certain receptors, which means that it helps your fat cells release that stubborn fat and use that fat for energy. It's a powerful mix of ingredients for anyone who wants to fire up their metabolism and keep their appetite under control while dieting and exercising. Simply take two capsules in the morning with a tall glass of water for a boost that will get you through most of the day with no crash and no jitters. Right now, my listeners can try Burn Evolve 2.0 for up to 50% off by visiting theshred.com/stew. It's a special limited time offer, and it's backed by a lifetime money back guarantee. It'll work for you, or they'll give you your money back, guaranteed. Just head over to theshred.com/stew. Again, theshred.com/stew.
For the first time in a millennia, a famine of biblical proportion is hitting the earth, and it's by design. War has created scarcity. Fertilizer production has been wiped out.
The price of fertilizer is up 128%.
Food processing plants are exploding. Herds of cows are being massacred and buried.
This is a very abnormal event.
The Great Reset demons have created the crisis, but a generation of great resistors following King Jesus have the solution.
HeavensHarvest.com. Get there right now.
Prepare for the worst by trusting the best. HeavensHarvest.com has a delicious plan to conquer starvation. It's real food, high quality, tastes great.
It's actually really good.
Trust Heaven's Harvest today. Order food for the year and a bucket of heirloom seeds. Affordable, available, ready for the fight ahead. HeavensHarvest.com.
Protect yourself from the psychopath lizard things that want to take your kids and touch them and groom them and molest them and traffic them. The psychopaths who want you to inject yourself with a deadly bioweapon, and then they want to incapacitate you by taking all of your food away by the food supply shortage, and then come for your money and your guns. Protect your money with gold and silver from Goldco. The imminent great financial reset that resets the electronic banking system to zero, it's going to happen. It's the only way that they can have ultimate control. But if you have gold and silver, guess what? You're set. Don't be a victim. Call Goldco today, 855-706-GOLD, 855-706-GOLD. Also, if you mention Stu Peters when you call Goldco, $10,000, up to $10,000 in free silver with a qualified account. Call them today, 855-706-GOLD. More of the Stu Peters Show continues right now.
And welcome back. I'm Paul Harrell filling in for Stu. So the Winnipeg offices of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation were recently plastered with posters of the vaccine injured and of people who have died from the vaccine bioweapon. The purpose of this protest was an attempt to make the CBC acknowledge the dangers of the clot shot and to stop lying to Canadians on a daily basis. The propaganda and censorship must end now because people are dying. Lee Vossen is a marketing specialist and graphic designer. She attended the protest, the recent protest, outside of the Canadian Broadcast Corporation's building. She's also the president and founder of Students Against Mandates, which is a nonprofit organization committed to the elimination of COVID-19 mandates across all Canadian university and college campuses. Lee Vossen joins us now. Lee, thank you so much and welcome to the Stu Peters Show.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So first of all, let's get a little background about your organization and where are you in the goal to stop these ridiculous COVID mandates that are still going on?
Yeah, absolutely. So just to tell you a little bit about it, it was founded in August of 2021. I'm from Winnipeg, Manitoba. I was attending Red River College at the time when they implemented these mandates. Students who were doing online courses were deregistered. It obviously got ridiculous. Right now, a lot of the universities have dropped their mandates. U of T still has a three-dose policy for students in residence. Obviously, makes no sense, so we're calling that out. And then there's also mask mandates still implemented at a lot of the universities across Canada. So that's something we're really pushing back against, and we hope to see an end to soon.
All right. So from what I can tell, virtually no one has covered what went on outside of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation's building. Virtually no one. Now, I know there's a similar protest that happened a few weeks ago, I think, across the pond over in Great Britain. But what exactly were some of the content on these flyers? And, you know, we've got the photos that were plastered all over the offices.
Yeah. So the purpose was essentially to tell the stories that the news media are ignoring. So on every single poster, it had the name, face, age, and story of people who've been vaccine injured, all the way from people who are entirely crippled or dealing with myocarditis. You go read all of them, there's tons of different stories of people who have been seriously injured. So The fact that they're ignoring this is really concerning. You have to ask yourself why. And I drove by the next day and they were all taken down.
So that was their response. Their response was to take it down. While the protest was going on, were there any counter protesters? Were there people that, you know, came up and agreed with you and were glad that you were doing this?
Well, there were a lot of people driving by, either supporting us through honking, giving us, you know, peace signs, thumbs up. There were also people obviously not so happy with it who were yelling at us. But I was very encouraged to see a group of people walk by and ask us genuine questions about why we were protesting. And they had no idea that there were even adverse reactions to the vaccines. So I found that definitely very encouraging that they were curious. And that's really the purpose of this, right, is to raise awareness for what's happening and get those stories out there. There's a lot of untold stories. With my organization, Students Against Mandates, we've been interviewing people with adverse reactions. I believe the first one we did was in 2021. An individual, about 9 minutes after getting her first dose, she lost her eyesight for, I think it was like a couple hours or an hour or something like that. And now she's dealing with neurological issues, brain fog, trouble walking, things like that, very tired all the time. And it's really sad and it needs to be said. Not that these vaccines are injuring every single person who takes one, but adverse reactions are happening and the media should be covering this. They should be talking about it. It's a huge story.
Well, you know, it's kind of difficult to cover it when they go to break. The pharmaceutical companies are running ads, you know, in the middle of those breaks every single time. I mean, it's that, you know, have the long list of side effects. So it's tough for them to report honestly on this because they're literally being paid off. And so they don't want to tell the people the truth. Is that true? I know that's true with U.S. media. Is that true with Canada? They're running Big Pharma's ads.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You see the brought to you by Pfizer. I don't know if you've seen that compilation where it's all these different media outlets brought to you by Pfizer, brought to you by Pfizer. Same thing here. You see that in Canadian news outlets for sure.
So when you let me know about the government process, if you don't mind, or what the government has to do. So if you take a vaccine in Canada and you have an adverse reaction, is there a process to inform the government? Hey, I took the vaccine and I'm now injured.
Yeah, so I've spoken to quite a number of people who've experienced adverse reactions, and they're finding it very difficult to report. So you do have to go through your doctor. To my understanding, Health Canada has approved about 2.2 or $2.7 million worth of sort of contribution back to people who've been injured. But it's a very small list of people, like 25 or 50 people. I think it's 50 people. So there's a lot more vaccine injured people than that. And we need to be helping them and responding to them. But the people that I've interviewed have had great difficulty reporting these adverse reactions. They can't really get anywhere with it. They don't know what to do. They don't know what the process is. They've told their doctors, either doctors have said, no, you're fine. Or they've had to kind of go through different avenues to find doctors who will say, yeah, actually, this is an adverse reaction. So it's kind of foggy. It's hard to know exactly what to do as someone with an adverse reaction.
Well, certainly if the government agency that's tasked with recording vaccine injuries in Canada, if they are anything like the NPCs down here, I mean, can you imagine how difficult it is? I mean, if you're just talking to somebody that has no government authority, and there's somebody who's been brainwashed by the propaganda of the media, you know, who wears shirts that like encourage vaccination. There are those people out there. You try to tell them about what's really going on with, you know, it being a bioweapon and it causing all these adverse reactions as well as death in some cases. In many cases, Stu Peters has done a great job with his documentary Died Suddenly, exposing all of that. You get blank stares back from people. So can you imagine being a government bureaucrat having to take and, you know, be convinced that this isn't a real thing? Because they've bought into the propaganda as well, if they aren't actively, you know, trying to deceive, because there is that possibility as well. There's some people that are brainwashed, and there's other people who I think are malicious, in fact, at trying to, you know, wanting to get this out there. So, I mean, you know, hats off to students, Students Against Mandates. Where can people go? And feel free to respond to what I just said, but where can people go if they want to help you guys at Students Against Mandates?
Well, I definitely want to respond to what you just said. So I've noticed definitely when interacting with people, I've even spoken to doctors. People have reached out over our platform on Instagram, which you can find at students_against_mandates. But when I kind of engage in the debate and bringing up data and points, I notice it gets to a certain, maybe it'll be civil until I send me an article or one piece of information that breaks down their argument. They get malicious and aggressive and then resort to name calling, labeling, attacking my character, like calling me evil or assuming my intentions. I try to keep it as peaceful as possible. I'll send a voice note so they can hear my tone. Sometimes that helps, sometimes it doesn't. I get blocked or whatever. Called labels that don't really make sense. I've been called misogynistic before for saying you shouldn't be forced into taking a vaccine. They thought I was a guy because it was over over DM. And I sent them a voice and I was like, no, I'm very much a girl, I assure you. But it's ridiculous. And from some people that you'd think, either academics or intellectuals, people with a great deal of education, and not to say people who haven't gone to a post-secondary institution aren't educated, but you would think that scientists and doctors would at least discuss and enter civil debate, right? But that's not happening with a lot of people, I've noticed. Yeah. In terms of where to find us, you can go to studentsagainstmandates.ca for our website. We have a podcast where we interview a lot of different people, scientists, doctors, professors, thought leaders. So we've interviewed Dr. Ryan Cole, Dr. Julie Panessi, Brian Peckford, all sorts. And you should definitely go check it out because it's important and it's worth arming yourself with information and facts.
We really appreciate it. Lee Vossen, thank you so much for coming on the Stu Peter Show.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. Appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
And keep up the good work. Folks, don't go anywhere. The Stu Peter Show coming back in just a moment.
For healthcare you can trust, go to heroicdoctors.com and connect with the trusted and unbiased doctors of the Wellness Company. This is the future of medical care. Access to top-flight healthcare from anywhere by visiting heroicdoctors.com and the Wellness Company. You get uncensored content, virtual appointments with trusted medical professionals, doctors who aren't scared to follow protocols that keep you healthy, a real pharmacy that will fill your prescriptions, exclusive treatment packages, vaccine exemption letters, world-class supplements, healthcare products, and so much more. The last few years have proven just how broken our healthcare system is. Access to real medicine shouldn't be dictated by who you know or where you live. Break the power of Big Pharma and keep you and your family safe. Go to heroicdoctors.com and join today.
While everybody around you seems to be getting dumber and dumber by the day, easily distracted by the bought and paid for media that is compensated to distract them, looking at all of the shiny objects and UFOs and China spy balloons, you could be getting smarter. You could be doing better. You could be busting through those distractions and performing at your cognitive best. Go to nootopia.com/stew. Again, nootopia.com/stew. Nootropics brain supplements, 100% legal, totally natural, 100% safe, non-addictive. They actually make you smarter, process information better, be more driven, be more creative, be more focused. Nootopia.com/stew. Again, nootopia.com/stew.
The Stu Peters Network is brought to you in part by DarkAgeDefense.com. One day we could be at war. Missile silos activated. Drone swarms blotting out the sun. Cyber attacks destroying the power grid. Don't wait until lights out to prepare for the day after. Dark Age Defense will arm you to protect your family. Food, water, power, survival. DarkAgeDefense.com/Stu has you covered. Don't wait. Visit DarkAgeDefense.com/Stu. One of Dr. Zelenko's last innovations was Z-Flu, and it's finally here. This flu season could be one of the worst in decades, and pharmacies are running out of ways to fight it. Instead of relying on them, arm yourself with Z-Flu. Z-Flu uses high-quality elderberry paired with vitamin C, D, and zinc to keep your immune system at its strongest. Trust the name that kept you safe during the plandemic and protect yourself this flu season. Buy Z-Flu today at ZStackProtocol.com.
Welcome back. I'm Paul Harrell, filling in for Stu. So last Tuesday, a 19-year-old autistic boy named Trent Learcamp was brought to a party, drugged and tortured for hours, and then dropped off at a hospital in critical condition. A group of teenage boys who claimed to be the 19-year-old's friend brought him to their party, in which he was forced to ingest dangerous amounts of alcohol, was force-fed hallucinogenic mushrooms, and later was covered in spray paint. teens who abused the autistic boy then dropped him off at the hospital after he was in critical condition. According to a GoFundMe page set up to help Trent with his mounting medical bills, it reads, and I quote, "This is Trent. Trent spent Tuesday night with a group of people who he thought were his friends. They picked him up from our house, and he expected to have a casual night with his friends. Trent wouldn't know it until it was too late that these were not his friends, but vile, abusive perpetrators who would go on to torture, humiliate, and assault him in inhumane, terrifying ways for hours. He was dropped off in front of the ER doors. He was deemed inconclusive to life, only passing 6 breaths per minute. Since that evening, Trent has been on a ventilator in the ICU battling fevers and a lung infection," end quote. Joining me now to talk more about this dehumanizing story and also generally the spiritually sick state of our nation is the host of Jesus, Guns, and Babies here on the Stu Peters Network. Dr. Candace Taylor is with us. Candace, thank you so much for being with me tonight.
Thank you so much for having me on the show today.
Absolutely. So what do you make with your experience in psychology, what's going through, teenage boys to do something like this, to somebody who has autism?
Well, it's my understanding there were maybe a couple girls involved as well, and the majority boys, but for them to do this inhumane act, and it was been repeatedly, with several occasions this was actually going on for the last couple of weeks, per news reports, I truly feel like these children were influenced by evil. This is a type of sick and dimension that is not normal. This is not normal student behavior. They're calling it a hazing, which totally alerted me that this is not a hazing. This is attempted murder. Mm. He almost died and could very well would have died had he not been taken to the hospital. And so this was attempted murder. This was way out of control. Excessive is not even the word. And I don't really understand why there hasn't been an arrest made yet.
I absolutely. I mean, and obviously we want to put the link to the Gifts and Go in the description of this video for people to want to, if they want to go help Trent out for, as he's recovering from this evil, horrendous ordeal. And so I'm glad that you mentioned the fact that this is, these are just deranged, evil teenagers. What does that say about the state of our country right now, Candace?
So I believe there's good in everybody and their children, and I believe there's good in there. But what influence had on their life and their morality to make them think this was okay? Where is their conscience at some point when you're doing this to someone? If he did have special needs, whether he did or not, it's been reported he did, it's been reported he didn't. I'm not sure. I don't know him personally. But if he did, at what point is human life not valuable that you think it's okay to urinate and defecate and spray paint and shoot water and make and drink to excess and give other things to him for him to ingest that would cause him to get in this kind of state of death? I don't understand what influence the parents, maybe they didn't supervise their children or they didn't teach them about morality. I don't know, but I'm worried about their conscience being seared. And I'm seeing this all over. You're seeing it on the news, but I've heard about it from counselors all over the state of Georgia, all over the country, people that I'm connected with. They're seeing an increase in suicidal ideation, an increase in gender confusion, identity confusion disorder, which is a mental illness. Gender identity disorder is an actual mental illness, which they call transgenderism, but it's a sickness. And so you're seeing this being pushed, the furries and all this confusion about who you are, and just a desensitization of our youth. And I truly believe that's why you're seeing more weaponization in schools and just this anger they don't know how to control or what to do with these extreme emotions they're feeling. And we can talk about the racial divide that's being projected and propelled. And we see a onslaught of white kids being beat up by black kids. It's just on and on being pushed in mainstream media and on social media and on TikTok and everywhere these kids are just being inundated with it. And now we're seeing them acted out in real life.
Yeah, and you mentioned dehumanization. There's no greater dehumanization than what we've witnessed the last, 30, 40 years with the genocide of our babies, with, Roe versus Wade being the law of the land. But here recently in the last 3 years, it's been very easy to dehumanize people, whether or not, they're not going to wear their mask. Oh, somehow now you're an other. We've had leftists all across the world say that if you don't take the dangerous bioweapon vaccine, that you shouldn't get health care. I mean, talk about dehumanization. That may be where some of these kids have learned it. You know, it may be subconscious, but that, you know what, there are certain instances where it's just okay to treat somebody like, you know, they're subhuman. And you mentioned transgenderism. I mean, so we've got to talk about the terrible, you know, trans terrorist attack on the Christian school in Nashville the other day, where when we talked about this in the opening segment of tonight's show, obviously the parents are still grieving. We're praying for them. We're praying for God to bring, give them a peace, to do what would be impossible, I think, in a lot of our minds if we lost our children, you know, as parents. But you mentioned that this transgenderism, this is a mental illness. There's been a long history of people, whether they're trans or whether they're not trans, you know, being on antipsychotic drugs. We still don't know. I haven't heard if this trans terrorist, this 28-year-old biological female, if she was or wasn't on testosterone, but that's mind-altering. Matter of fact, do you know anything about that, the effects of massive amounts of testosterone that you could walk into Planned Parenthood and get, say, I'm trans, I'm a biological female, give me testosterone so I can transition? Do you know, any of the effects that this can have on a body that's not designed biologically to handle testosterone like this?
Absolutely. It restructures your whole brain. It restructures your functioning. It has synapses firing in different directions. It has you unable to control your body with rage. And when you fixate on something and you become obsessed with it, when you see all the things that's been posted about this female and what she was focused on, and she was very artsy and very creative and in graphic design, but everything was on murder. It was on focused her energy on that. And when whatever you focus on gets bigger. And so she's focused on that. If she was taking hormones or whether she was or not, she's still, when you don't know who you are biologically in your brain, but your anatomy says what you are, but you can't get that figured out, it's a mental illness. And we are in a mental health crisis in America. But what it boils down to, Paul, is a spiritual crisis in America. We need Jesus. Our kids are desperately needing our Heavenly Father and to know who they are in Him. He made two genders, male and female, and He made them perfect in His image. And so if the enemy can come, if Lucifer can come and confuse you about the very basic foundation of who you are, he can mess you up pretty badly. And so I'm praying, of course, for these people that lost their lives and the trauma that every one of these students experienced that day. They protected their children. They put them in a Christian school, so they're not in public school, thinking they're protected. And then they were attacked severely. And it's something that you never overcome. You may learn to heal and cope, but you will never be the same again. It changes you. It alters your path and your thought process and how you react and respond forever. It alters it forever. I will say, the thing that's really bothered me with that case is I've heard about a friend, a teammate of the girl who attacked. She was on a basketball team, and that female player knew that morning that she was thinking about committing suicide because she said, I will die today. And so she reached out to a suicide hotline. She reached out to the law enforcement, and they gave her to a non-emergency a number. And so we are seeing that a failure on responding to a mental health crisis. And I understand that there's so many things that we get well care checks done and we get things done that are not, they end up not being important. They end up not being anything, but there may be the one, and this was the one, and they failed and they didn't respond appropriately, and we got to do better.
No, you're exactly right. I'm so glad that you brought up the spiritual sickness. You know, we can talk about a mental health crisis, and that certainly is the external results of what's going on internally, which is a sin problem. You mentioned it. We are sinners, and we are in need of reconciliation with God, in repenting of our sin, turning to Christ, and then allowing Him and the Holy Spirit to sanctify us as we become more and more like Christ and His image. And it's interesting that, you know, even we talk about a lot on here on the Stu Peter Show. Stu does a great job of exposing Big Pharma and exposing, you know, everything, you know, their poison drugs, not just the poison vax, but all of this stuff, whether it's antidepressants or what have you. But I've been interesting, you know, as I've grown up, I have noticed that a lot of pastors, in the midst of counseling, they are becoming less and less focused about the sin of the person in front of them, and that's actually what's causing a lot of their issues. And rather, even pastors will say, you know, I think you have, some sort of personality disorder, and you need to be on drugs. And it's like, well, and feel free to give me your professional opinion, but I don't think that's the answer anymore, especially with what we're finding out about how, you know, big pharma is essentially not regulated at all by the people. They're all being bought and paid for. So they don't have our best interest at heart at all.
Well, I believe that Jesus is perfect theology, and he cast out demons. He cast out demons everywhere he went. And so there are truly people who are afflicted with demonic presence, and it plays out in their life medically, it plays out mentally, and they're sick from that. And then there's truly people who have chemical imbalances, and there's people who have learned behaviors. And like I said, whatever you focus on gets bigger. And so if you're focusing on evil, if you're playing these video games where you're shooting at people all the time, if you're obsessed with that, if you're reading manifestos that are totally demonic and deranged, and that's what you're focused on, then you're going to end up having a sick way and twisted way of thinking that can make you act and behave out in a certain way. All of it combined, but it is definitely spiritual. We are physical beings in a spiritual world, and we have a need for Jesus Christ in America greater than ever, right here before Easter. And so I hope and pray people that are watching this, I know most of them are Christians, you believe in the Lord, but if you're not plugged into a church, if you're not feeding your family spiritually, I encourage you today to do that. Our country is in a crisis, and we are going to have revival. It's breaking out. It is. But we are going to have a definitive line of those who are with Christ and those who are against, and we're seeing that every single day play out.
Yeah, you know, the darker the country gets, the more people are looking to God and are praying. And so, as we mentioned at the top of the broadcast, pray for these families. But while you're doing that, also pray for this country, because we are in desperate need of a miracle. And you know, we need people to repent. We need people to look to Christ as their Savior. That's certainly a 100% truth today here on the Stu Peters Show. Dr. Candace Taylor, we really appreciate it. Go ahead.
And Paul, I want to say, too, I want people pray, stand up, but you have to stand up. And so the protests that are going on in Brunswick and in Glenn County for this boy who was attempted murder on his life that they're calling hazing, they're having hundreds of people show up to protest. People that are supporting this Christian school, and they're sending money and they're praying. But we also have to stand up and say, we're not going to put up with this. You don't want to be, everybody wants to be politically correct. They don't want to speak out against transgenderism. They don't want to offend anybody. Listen, transgenderism is not okay. 50% of people who have sex changes die because they commit suicide.
That's right.
That's not 50% attempt, or they cut, or they have suicidal ideation, is 50% actually die. Talk about population control.
Yep.
We have to speak out against it. It's evil, and we have to use our voice.
Yeah, just like, I mean, and this is the thing. You know, a lot of people are saying that this, you know, trans terrorist did this at the school in Nashville because of laws. And I think that's probably likely going to be the, you know, the motive here. Because we have Christian red states across the South, let's say, other places too, but let's just say the South, that are handing the LGBT goose-step and gay lobby huge losses. I mean, medical malpractice reform, insurance not paying for the genital mutilation surgeries, being able to go after the doctors, you know, until you're 30 years old, banning kids from being, you know, drag shows. These bills are happening all across the country, and as a response to this, these people with the mental disorder are turning violent. And so we need to expect that this is going to happen more. I saw somebody on Twitter saying, hey, we need to carry everywhere. So especially all of these states that are passing these laws also happen to have a lot of them constitutional carry, if not, you know, are very friendly to the Second Amendment. So we definitely have to be vigilant at that and vigilant. And like you said, we do have to turn out and not be afraid to say, like, we have laws on the books that say murder is wrong. We can also say being transgender is wrong. We can say this, and we can pass laws at the local level, and what little bit of federalism we have left in the tank of this constitutional republic, we can still govern ourselves at the local level, and that's what's happening, and I'm really thankful for it.
Well, this is the message. Get your hands off of our children. Get your hands off. And we're not going to put up with it. The Bible is clear. We love everybody. I love every trans person who exists in this planet. I love them all. I don't hate anyone. I love them and I pray for them and I hope they get free from the torture that they have, that they're experiencing. But it's a clear message. You're not going to sexualize our kids. You're not going to corrupt them. And the word is clear. When you do it to the children, it's like tying a millstone around your neck.
That's right.
It is detrimental to your life. Mm-hmm. So stop it.
Now, to your point on the on people in the LGBT community, I said it, community. I'm trying not to say the word community. In that enclave, there are likely people right now who are not Christians yet, but will become Christians because the power of gospel of the gospel and Christ and God is that powerful to shake them out of this. And so we do need to pray to that end. And at the same time, you're exactly right, Candace. You better not come for our kids. And that's the response to this. We have a vast majority of Americans that are like, you have gone too far. We're not letting you do this to our kids. We're not letting you push God out of public life. And, you know, you say that Christianity is a worldview that we're forcing on you, and somehow your depravity isn't a worldview forcing on us, and we're saying no to that. And we're realizing that we've got to protect our kids, and if we can, we're going to use the law to do it. And I really appreciate it. Dr. Candace Taylor, thanks so much for coming on the Stu Peters Show.
Thank you for having me.
Try CBD from Curable, K-U-R-I-B-L. Curable.com is my CBD company. There's all kinds of things that you can treat with CBD. Just go to the internet, the web of things, and take a look around. I'm telling you, migraine, headaches, and allergies, ADHD and Parkinson's, joint pain and muscle pain, ligament pain, all of these things, try CBD, plus anxiety and stress. If you're dealing with those things, try the tinctures from Curable.com. You'll get 20% off site-wide. If you use the promo code Stu at Curable, K-U-R-I-B-L.com, 20% off using promo code Stu at Curable.com.
The boosters are killing millions.
Not a vaccine sensitivity.
A vaccine holocaust has begun.
We are seeing right now the highest death rates we have ever seen in the history of this business.
The vaccinated have chronic COVID.
Hey, folks, guess you heard. This morning I tested positive for COVID. But I've been double vaccinated, double boosted.
They're drowning in bioweapon sludge, and gay people are taking doggy style to the extreme. But a generation of patriots are standing back and standing by. Christopher Key is leading the revolution.
Good morning, America!
Temple. That's why they're poisonous with the water, the food, the supplements.
Confronting corrupt corporations through peaceful protest and righteous resistance. Visit vaccine-police.com to stay informed on pure blood survival and products to keep your loved ones safe. Vaccine-police.com. Are you getting sick all the time? The bioweapon boosted are breaking our immune systems. Chemtrails fill the skies. Don't fear the shedpocalypse. Destroy impurities. Protect your children with the future of air purification. Trustfiltersuck.com.
Watch how quickly our machine pulls out dust, shedding, quantum dots, mold, bacteria, viruses, anything that grandma might have brought over from Boosterville, California. We drop it down to the ground as a biologically inert substance.
Sleep easy with 24/7 protection. Get a unit for your home or the portable device to shield your kids at school. Use promo code STU for huge discounts. Filtersuck.com, your antidote against poison in the air.
Did you know that over 50 million adults right here in the United States suffer with sleep issues every day? If that's you, you're not alone. Sleep is the cornerstone for better health. Plus, people can't properly combat stress and anxiety. These numbers are directly correlated to this one. 75% of Americans suffer a magnesium deficiency, which helps you to combat stress and get better sleep. Magnesium Breakthrough has the 7 most critical types of magnesium all in one pill. Go to magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. Again, magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters.
And welcome back. So before we go tonight, I want to remind you to set your clocks. You do not want to miss what's going to happen Friday evening at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. There's going to be a watch party of Died Suddenly. And it's not just any watch party. There's going to be a live question and answer session with the directors, with the producers, with the cast. This is going to be live on the Stu Peters Network, on Rumble, as well as the Died Suddenly Twitter account. That's right, a Died Suddenly watch party Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern. You don't want to miss it right here on the Stu Peters Network. My name is Paul Harrell. Thank you, Stu, so much for letting me guest host this evening, and I'll see everyone tomorrow night. Good night, America.
I get to see it. I'm a first-hand witness, completely blown away every day by the explosion of this platform, but the glory does not belong to Stu Peters. This is God's